Thanks, Travis. I don't have much to update on today. We are still holding at our one confirmed positive COVID-19 case. We had two probables, and all three of those cases are considered recovered. Across the state, there's 322 confirmed positive cases in 22 counties. Unfortunately, our reportable deaths have increased since our last update. Four happened on Monday within Fremont County, so that's very sad. But so our current deaths from COVID-19 is at 6. Across the state, 254 patients have recovered from COVID-19. And as of right now, Sublette County has 0 patients in ordered quarantine from the state health officer. One little thing to note today is our phones for our Pinedale office are not working correctly. So if you try calling our Pinedale office, you will get a busy signal. And there's no way for us to fix that right now. CenturyLink is on their way out to help us, but that may not be till tomorrow. So if you have any public health care needs, please call us on our Big Piney phone number, which is 307-276-3575. That number does ring into our office here in Pinedale, so we will be able to answer your questions. And if you schedule an appointment with us sometime until our phones get fixed, we can let you in our Pinedale office door from then on. So thanks, Travis. That's all I have.
Thanks, Robin. Hopefully your phones get back soon.
Yeah, hopefully soon.
Internet and technology issues in the county as of late, with CenturyLink having multiple downages. So hopefully that comes back soon. With that, I guess, Emily, I'll turn to you with the clinic update.
Okay, great. Thanks, Travis. Mine's pretty short today, too. As of today, 42 tests have been completed from the state lab and 13 from private labs. The clinics are currently monitoring 4 individuals. We have 2 tests that are still pending. All other test results have returned negative, but one individual is still having symptoms. So we're checking in with them, and we're also following one in self-isolation. Other than testing numbers, I'll just keep it short again. I know that everyone's ready for the county to reopen. And with that gradual reopening, just be aware that we still will be screening at the doors, and we'll still be taking all necessary precautionary measures to ensure that the clinic and staff don't get exposed. Also, your options for telehealth and Zoom appointments will still be available. And as always, call us if you have any questions or would like to speak to a provider or nurse. And just don't delay talking to your provider. But that's it for me, Travis, today.
Thanks, Emily. I think that's a good update and great planning on your guys' part to gradually, you know, back this off and not just turn the switch and be safe as we gradually ease into this. So I appreciate that. With that, I guess, Dr. Fitzsimmons, we'll go to you next.
Unmute. Anyway, I do want to add a little bit of news, and I'm not going to be really specific about it, but we have been working for a long time to try to be able to do rapid coronavirus testing, and we are one step closer today to being able to do that at the clinic. And as I mentioned on Monday, they are doing that at some of the bigger places like St. John's down in Utah, over in Idaho. So we're going to have that capacity, and we did get it, take a big step today in getting there. It's still a ways off, and we don't know how far, but it's definitely the road and be here. Other than that, I do have something I want to read. We had talked on Wednesday about starting to elucidate some of our plans to allow exceptions to state order number 3, and I have a little something I want to read about that. Anyway, good morning. We have been alluding to granting exception to the statewide order on personal services. That's statewide order number 3. And we've been talking about that for almost a week now, and I want to lay out how we're going to do that. Initially, we're going to limit these exceptions to statewide order number 3 only. This applies very specifically to nail salons, barbershops, massage therapy services, tattoo, body arts, and piercing shops, as well as cosmetology, electrology, and aesthetic services. We have developed an application form that will be available online either later today or tomorrow at the latest. Those applications can be submitted on Friday, but not before then. People who are going to take advantage of this process, we ask you to be very meticulous in filling out that application, and especially very detailed in making a safety operation plan. On Friday, I will do my best to begin reviewing all those applications. We don't know how many there'll be, but talking to people at the Chamber of the Commerce, we expect probably on the order of maybe 5 to 15 of those. I do have other duties that will require my attention over the weekend, and I can't predict to what extent my attention will be required by those other duties, but I'm going to do my best to get through them on the weekend. As part of that review, I will reach out to each applicant and have an initial discussion with the goal of setting up a time that I can interview you in your place of business and look at your safety operation plan. I would like to be able to devote the afternoons of next week to these interviews. I anticipate doing a number of these myself, but public health is also going to help me with this. I expect that we may modify your safety operation plan when we see you in person, and it would behoove you to be able and prepared to do that at the time during the interview. If everything goes well and your application is approved, we would grant you an exception that would go into effect on the 1st of May. We've chosen that date because a statewide order is set to expire on April 30th. In which case, all our work, yours and ours, might be wasted. But with the schedule we have set up, if it is extended, we will be ready to start work on the 1st of May. And that's our hope, that one way or another, we can get some people back to work on the 1st of May. Throughout this pandemic, we have deferred to Governor Gordon and Dr. Harris, our state health officer, whenever possible. Excuse me. This is not just a matter of respect, but it also comes from a deep appreciation that our fortunes are intricately aligned with those of our fellow Wyomingites. And you heard Robin talk about four people dying in Fremont County yesterday. It's actually the day before, I think. The governor is expected to make some kind of announcement in the next day or two. That's not for sure, but we do expect to hear from him. Please try to listen to that announcement if you can. It's very likely that what he has to say will affect what we are trying to do today here. Again, I urge everyone to bear with us as we cautiously and deliberately begin to loosen some of these mitigation strategies that have served us so well. It's important that we have a measured process and that we don't jump the gun. But I do believe and I hope that we are close to turning a corner towards the eventual end of getting things back to normal. So that's what I have for you, Travis.
Thanks, Dr. Fitz. In regards to that, too, I think as you're planning this process, the plan is to have the application form available on the Sublet WY COVID website later this afternoon or tomorrow latest. So if people are interested in applying for that, that's where you should be checking for that form to come up.
Well, thank you. Thanks for that, Travis. And then when that form is filled out, we're hoping that we can either have you submit that back to that website or to a website that I've kind of set up just for me for this issue.
Perfect. And as we get new details on that, we'll be sure to share those too. Before I turn over to our last guest, I'm just going to remind everybody, if you have a couple comments or questions you need to submit, put them in the comments now. I've already written down two that we have for the end. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Aaron.
Good. Thank you, Travis. We were asked from everybody in the mental health side to take turns going over this list that we presented last week of some of the concerns that are coming out, chronic stress, and just the overall disruption of our schedules and lifestyle. So the first thing that I wanted to discuss was how to know if there's a difference in your life that is now problematic. And that's really is assessing where you were before and where you are now. If you are sleeping more than usual, if you're eating more than usual, if you have skin breakouts or irritation, irritability, anger problems, anything like that, then you know that there's something that you need to do to adjust, to accommodate these, well, the situation that we are in and ongoing. So two things that I wanted to elaborate just a little bit more on today is setting firm schedules with yourself. And that's put yourself into some kind of a routine. Humans are inherently encouraged, or they desire some kind of a routine. So give yourself one. Give yourself, this is when I get up, no exceptions. This is when I go to bed, no exceptions. Just like you would on a school night with your kids. And then also give yourself time limits on certain things, like sleeping, or this is how long I am on the internet, or checking the news, or shopping, or whatever else that it is, and just organize yourself in a different way. Humans don't like change. We never have. But this is something that was forced upon us based on the circumstances we are in. So roll with that. Understand that some changes are necessary and that we may never get back to what normal was, just like with the 9/11 attacks. Some things never went back to normal, and it'll be the same way. We are a little bit more aware of our situations and how we have to interact, and also how we can if there's a pandemic or other similar crisis. Truly, that's all I've got for today. We will have regular visits, some from our school counselors in both 1 and 9 school districts, as well as other counselors in the area. And I believe we're going to do it every Wednesday. So if you have questions, please ask. Also remember that there is the crisis on call line is always available. There is somebody available 24/7 to answer questions. And if you have a need or if there's something you're struggling with, please reach out either at the school level or one of the professionals in this area. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. I think that's great advice for everybody right now. It's kind of tough on everybody, so good that we're able to bring you guys in once a week and help check on our mental health as well. So we appreciate that. For me, we wanted to remind everybody that, again, they're organizing another cruising event down Main Street this Friday. I think last Friday went fairly well. And I say fairly well with the caveat that some people were still not being exactly safe about it. So we wanted to just go over a couple more tips about that if you participate this week. And I think it's going to be bigger this week, so it's more so important. Make sure you're riding with family members only and not intermingling groups. Be safe while driving. Use your seatbelts. You know, obviously, watch for pedestrians with more traffic. There might be more people. Just be safe on that front. Don't gather in parking lots and get out of your car and visit. I know it's tempting. We all haven't seen each other, and you see each other driving, and you want to stop to say hi, but that social distancing is still kind of important. Keep all your body parts inside the vehicle except to wave. I know you want to wave and have fun, and there were some reports of some people hanging out of sunroofs and out windows, and we don't want that, and nobody to get hurt. It's all supposed to be in good fun and be safe, right? So with that said, the only other thing we wanted to add is Congress is set to pass new legislation to refund the Paycheck Protection Program. So if you're a small business, now's the time to get with your bank and get that application ready. So when there's more funding available, you know, you're in a good position to get some of that funding assistance for your employees. And there'll be more information posted on that on our website, which again is the subletwycovid.com website. With that, I guess we're starting to get some more questions, so I'm going to turn to that. Dr. Fitz, I got a longer one that might include you and a little bit of my end, but Justin asks, why is it that these truly non-essential services are being considered to be open as well as, or not to reopen, as well as big stores are allowed to stay open for, and small mom and pop stores and gyms are told to stay closed and even arrested? I'll let you start that off and I'll take the second half. That works for you.
I guess I don't know that I can speak very well to what is essential and non-essential. Those orders are orders. They were written in a certain way. There are reasons why the state health officer chose gyms, theaters, things like that. That gets people together, that gets them staying in one room for a long time. Gyms tend to get people breathing heavier. There's a lot of reasons for that. Most of the business in Sublette County were not shut down. If you had a regular business like the print shop, the office outlet, that was allowed to go on. We asked people not to have too many people in there at one time and maintain social distancing. And I think we chose, and the state health officer chose, and they've chosen it up at the national level, to think about those activities which are going to be more liable to spread this. That's one of the reasons why we closed schools very early on. The school's a pretty essential thing. The kids are suffering from not being in school, but it's a place that spreads a lot of disease. The other thing I would like to say about that would be that there was no closing the grocery store. No, if you want people to riot and go panicking, shut the grocery stores all of a sudden. It was just not doable. We've struggled with the grocery stores. It's a difficult issue. We've struggled everywhere with that because from a epidemiological point of view, it's still kind of one of the worst places in town for spreading this disease. But we were forced to live with it to some extent. But I have a little trouble kind of saying what I think is essential and non-essential. And if you look in those orders forms, order number two, order number one, order number three, they were very specific, and it wasn't all centered around the concept of non-essential versus essential. It was centered around certain types of activities that were more prone to spread this disease. That's always been the number one goal, is to kind of, where possible, eliminate places where this disease is more easily spread than others.
Thanks, Dr. Fitz. I think it's hard to explain that, but the orders are laid out by the state the way they are, and they specifically named certain businesses and not others. And I agree that Ridley's and grocery stores, you are gathering, but everybody's got to get groceries, right? So some of the things we had to live with. And as far as the second part of that question, why some of these, even arrested, just to clarify, there was a business in town that did open against the orders, and they weren't arrested, but they have been summons to court and going through that legal process, and I can't really say much more about that. But this, these state health orders at the very bottom of each one has an enforceability statute to where if you open or do things outside of these orders, you can be charged. Doesn't mean you will be, but it is a possibility that people need to understand really clearly. So with that one,
hey, I want to just say something, because sure, I know you won't, okay? And I know that everybody in law enforcement is not in a hurry to go around writing tickets, throwing people in jail for this. This is kind of not what they signed up for, given hassling good people who are having a hard time in a very unusual situation. They're here to kind of protect us from people who are misbehaving. That's why they sign up for this job. And mostly they're going to be asking for cooperation. And if you can give the cooperation, they're going to prefer that to any other way of dealing with this.
Thanks, Dr. Fitz. That's true. I mean, nobody likes it, but statutes are the statutes. And if people are outside of that, then we have no choice. But we appreciate that. And that's not what we want to do. We want to get through this together as a community and get past it and open up again, but we got to do it the right way. I got another question for you, Dr. Fitz, from Froy. It's a little longer. When can I go to, or where can I get legitimate place to order an antibody test from, either processed by the state or private lab? I've heard there's so many fake tests out there. I'm interested in getting a legitimate one, mainly concerned because of their connection to public health for a lot of years, and COVID being prevalent, is that even an option, or what's your advice on that?
Not today, but soon, and I don't know how long. At least a week away, but probably not 2 months away. There are a lot of different companies making these antibodies tests, and they haven't had time to run big studies to know how accurate they are. Some of them are definitely kind of inferior tests. Also, they have to get FDA approval, and the FDA really wants them to show some good data that it's a good test and reliable. The FDA is moving through those tests at a pace that nobody has ever seen the FDA move through tests like this before. And they are becoming available. Right now, we have a little bit of problems in Sublette County because we're not a hospital, and that kind of moves us down in a level of complexity and dictates what tests we can and can't do. And the FDA is saying that these unproven tests are high complexity tests. Other places have decided not to use them right now because their reliability is not really proven, but other places are using them. I do expect that they're going to be good tests and very widely available. My guess, and it's a guess, is something on the order of 2 to 8 weeks.
Perfect. Thank you. Next one might be in, I know I realize a lot of these questions might be in Dr. Fitz's room, but as they come up, Pamela asks, are you concerned as we open things up again, are we looking at another spike in cases? I think that's one that everybody wants to know.
Yeah, and I tell you, I think you should expect it. It's going to be, we've flattened this curve, but that stretches that out, and you should expect a little bit of a bump at each stage as we, do things that produce more contact between people. I think that's going to be expected, and the question is the magnitude of it. Is it going to be a big magnitude? Right now, I feel very good about the idea that the magnitude of that spike is not going to be sufficient to push the healthcare system around us to its limits, and that's the important thing. But I do expect that we will see a little spike in this as we start to loosen up. People are going to ask, I don't know if you have a question there, about a second wave. To me, that is 120% conjecture. Sometimes you see these second waves and sometimes you don't. And you hear people on TV who are much smarter than me saying that we could have a second wave. Yes, we could. We could also not have a second wave. And I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. But what we'll see as we open up is not the second wave. It's just a little bit of the backside of the first wave.
Thanks. I think that is hard to speculate. Nobody really knows. Only time's going to tell, right? And if we do it incrementally and be smart about it, maybe we can minimize any kind of uptick we would get.
And leave ourselves in a position where we can take care of people very well who become very sick with this.
The next question comes from Lavella, and I think, Robin, this might be more in your wheelhouse, even though she kind of asked Dr. Fitz, but there's a concern and a question from her how we're looking for flu shots coming this next year, and when kids go back to school, are we looking at bigger issues next fall, that kind of thing.
When it comes to our flu vaccine, we have to order that the end of March, beginning of April to have enough for the incoming flu season. We did order extra because we did anticipate that there would be more people that would be wanting to get a flu vaccine this year. We have not heard anything about any problems with being able to get any flu vaccine at this time. So we don't anticipate any problems, and we did order extra flu vaccine just because of this COVID stuff. We have not heard anything on a vaccine for COVID yet. That's going to take a while. That's not going to be something that we'll have probably this fall or maybe not even next year. There's a lot more research that needs to be done on COVID stuff before they get a vaccine out that's proven effective. So hope that answers your question.
I think that's pretty good. Thank you, Robin. And the last couple, I saw one that asked, what's up with the bars and restaurants? I know many of you probably saw yesterday one of the local bars is being creative around the orders to try to open and be open. They went through the sheriff's office and Dr. Fitzsimmons. While their plan, as it was laid out, wasn't illegal, it's not advisable. It's not the best idea, but it's not illegal as far as the orders are concerned. So we did some clarification on that yesterday. We want everybody to be safe and kind of stick to the orders, but we also understand businesses want to be open. With that said, you know, if you set up a plan and you're within the guidelines, let's stick to that and make sure that that's being done. The restaurants are still open. They just have to do curbside, and I think many local restaurants have been doing so pretty successfully. And like we said before, we don't want, you know, businesses to suffer. And I think there's a misnomer out there that, you know, the state's closed. The state's not closed. I could be wrong on this number. The last guess I had was we were one of only six states that didn't do a stay-at-home order. Many states have been more strict than our state has been, and we've tried to keep it as, you know, reserved as we can and be safe about it. So that's, you know, not the case. So just stick to the orders and do the right things. And that's the reason we don't have that many cases in Wyoming, is because we've done the right things for so long through this and, you know, done the right things this whole time. So with that, if you guys had any closing remarks, we'll leave it at that so you can all get back to your day. And I appreciate you being here, unless you have something else.
Well, that's it. Thank you, Travis.
Thanks, Travis.
Thanks, Travis.
Talk to you later.